Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I like to be the victor, not the victim. Hallelujah. Let's go to James 1 and 1 and read about four verses there. Thank you for coming tonight on Tuesday night. You always can look at the strength of a church and see who the nucleus is. You know what a nucleus is? On the midweek service. I thank you that are the nucleus of the church for being here tonight. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Then Mark 5 and 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples saith unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her. He already knew it was a her that had touched him. Looked to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, not unto her, but in her, fell down before him, and watch this, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I want to talk about a basket case tonight. A basket case. Amen. Look at somebody and say, are you a basket case? I don't know. Praise the Lord. Lord, I come before you tonight. Hallelujah. I think they're already confused. Hallelujah. So mixed up many times we are, Lord, with what your will is and what it's not. And people fleece the Lord for this and fleece the Lord for that. Trying to find your will. If this happens, then it's the will of God. If it don't, we just keep searching. We feel after it if happily we might find it. But Lord, I ask you to help us to understand that all the parts must come together or you're not in it. You're not in it. Help us to understand, God, that we are to bring the parts to you that we can be made whole. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed. Anybody been overwhelmed with trouble? You ever said, hey, I'm just overwhelmed. I can't take another thing. Overwhelmed. He said, but when my heart is overwhelmed, I said, lead me. You know, that's a good time to find somebody real spiritual. Unfortunately, when people get overwhelmed, they do usually the wrong thing. They go to the wrong people. But he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me where? To the rock. For that rock is higher than I. It's stronger than I. It's tougher than me. It's steadier than me. It's more established than me. For thou hast been a fortress and a shelter unto me. Ooh, that's where I want to go when my heart is overwhelmed and I'm confused and maybe like I'm preaching out of a basket case. Lead me to something stable. Hallelujah. There's only two people that have ever met God without sin in their life. Who were they? Who are the two people that ever met God in their lifetime without sin? Adam and Eve are the only two that ever met God without sin in their life. Everybody since Adam and Eve has fallen into sin. And when you come to God, you come broken. When Adam and Eve met sin, their lives were broken. Their family got broken later. But what happens to Adam and Eve was they went to pieces. They went to pieces. Because they were whole. They were sound. They were secure. They were entire. They were perfect. And they were wanting nothing. But when sin entered in, it broke it to pieces. So much so that Adam went back to the dust that he was made out of. He went back to the pieces of dirt he once came out of. And so everybody that ever comes to God comes broken in one way or another. Everybody. You may be broken in one area of your life, and I'm broken in another way in my life, but I read where he came to heal the broken-hearted people. We all come broken-hearted. There's other parts of our lives that may be different, but we all come to God with pieces. Nobody is entire. Nobody is whole. Nobody is not wanting nothing until you find God. I will tell you one thing I like about the truth that we preach. When I found this, I quit searching. When I found this, I knew I had found it all, that there was really no more to find. I felt complete. I felt whole. I felt entire with the gospel message that we preach today. Amen. There was no more searching. But sin shatters things. It shatters them. It shatters them so bad that many times it's hard to put it back together. The old Humpty Dumpty, he had what kind of fall? A great fall. And it said all the king's horses and all the king's men. That didn't mean God couldn't put him back together again, but man couldn't put him back together again. And so our lives, when they're broken, you can take all the counseling you want, and I'm not telling you you shouldn't. You take all the pills you want, and I'm telling you shouldn't. But the only one who can get you back to whole is God. That's all. That's the only one. They'll ever get you back to whole. And so we read where this woman, I'm going to jump around a little bit, had a plague. And sometimes you're plagued with things. Sometimes generations are plagued with things. And so a plague is, by definition, anything that afflicts you from being complete. It breaks you down. When Delilah said she wanted Samson, what did she want to do? She said, I am going to afflict you. And what did she mean? I'm going to break you down. I'm going to break you down. I'm going to make you weak as other men. I'm going to take away your strength little by little or quick as I can. I'm going to bring you back to weakness. She broke it apart to where now this man is as weak as anybody else. The enemy, the Bible says, comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He comes to break you up. He wants to break up things, families and loved ones and relationships. And that's what he wants to do. He wants you in as many pieces as he can get you. Because it's harder to put it back together if you get too many pieces. Amen. But Christ said that he come to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. What he comes is to pull the pieces back together. There's a song Melanie sings sometimes, picking up the pieces of my life. And many times when Jesus healed people, he went beyond the healing and he asked them a question. What was it? Wilt thou be made whole? And there's a difference between being healed and being whole, although being healed is part of being whole. It goes beyond just, I feel better now, or I got healed of that disease. What he wants to do is take away the plague. He wants to take away the thing that started it in the first place, the affliction, the thing that made you weak to start with. Everybody has parts in their life. And everybody is capable of being broken down. I don't care how strong you are, mentally or physically, you're capable of being broken down. Yes, sir. They can take some of the hardest criminals and they can break them down. And they'll tell you everything you want to know in parts. And that's what the enemy wants to do. I will tell you that what God wants you to do is to fall on him. And not him fall on you. For the Bible says if we fall upon the rock, we are broken in what? pieces. But if the rock falls on you, you are ground to powder. And I, last time I checked, anything that's powder, I wouldn't have a clue what it even used to be, let alone what it needs to be like if I got together. I wouldn't have enough. But if you don't break it too bad, see, I'm glad he knows where to break me. I'm glad one day I fell on the rock and he knew where to crack me. He knew where my weak spots. You know where things crack at? The weak spots. He knew my weak spots and he cracked me there. And he put me back together and made me whole. And I thank God that I fell on him before he fell on me. For to fall into the hands of a living God, he said, it is a dangerous thing. And many times I've worked with a lot of people in over the years, and a lot of times people will come into the office, and I remember several cases, even since I've been here, they'll come in and say, fix me. Fix me. That's a common two words I hear, fix me. But they don't bring me all the parts. They bring me what they want mended, but they don't bring me all the parts that led, the afflictions, the plagues, the things that led to the breaking. They don't want to talk about that. They just want to be whole. They just want to be fixed. But I'm here to tell you that God is in the restoration business, but he will only restore the parts you bring to him. He's not into making more parts. Amen. You can fix a car, you leave the spark plugs out, it won't run. You need all the parts. And so it is. God is not trying to make new parts out of us and put, he wants to take who you are and use who you are and put you back together again, no matter what the world did to you or somebody else did to you or you think they did to you, and put you back together to where you function properly. Amen. So James is writing this letter, and he says to these 12 tribes, I always get a kick out of this when I read this because they're scared to death, brother. They're out there hiding. And he says, to the 12 tribes of Israel which are scattered abroad, greetings. He's like sending out greeting cards, you know, and they're all hiding for their life. Greetings. And they're afraid and they're hiding. And he sees that they're so scattered. Let me tell you, even right now with my wife, is her mother is passing and her mind is scattered. I'm not trying to embarrass her, it's scattered. She can lay something down in 2 minutes, don't even know where she laid it down at. My mom knows, you was scattered when dad died. Scattered. And you can get so scattered with things that you can't gather it back together hardly. And so these whole tribes are scattered all over the place. How do you preach the gospel when you're all scattered? How can you be whole and be scattered too? So he's trying to pull them back together with something. So he writes greetings to all of you guys out here. And he's trying to pull back all these parts by giving them a different perspective of why we're scattered. Hallelujah. So he says, don't look at the persecution as if it's bad. He said, that's why you're down and depressed and you're like, man, my life is just miserable. He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it joy. Well, I didn't cheer them up probably too much just to read the letter. But he's trying to change their mindset of thinking about being scattered to the purpose of why they were scattered was that they were chosen by God to bring the gospel to different nations. And so he continues down this path of trying to channel their carnal minds into a spiritual mindset. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh something. It worketh patience. Faith, when it is tried, will work patience. And the Bible says we all have need of patience. After we have done the will of God, that we have to have patience. It's like you plow the ground. Brother Van Winkle, I appreciate all the peas and the corn and the butter bean. All I had to do was collect it. Didn't take any patience on my part other than when's that man going to bring me something. But for him, he had to plow the ground, cultivate the ground, plant the seed, work with it, pick it, and all this stuff and clean it. It takes a lot of patience to be a farmer. And it takes a lot of patience to be a soul winner too. Trust me. So James is trying to pull all these pieces back together because they're all fragmented in their thinking that, like,
I thought I was going to sit on the right, and I thought he's going to sit on the left. I thought he's going to have 12 tribes. I thought we were going to judge Israel. I thought, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? It's not for you to know, but my Father in heaven. And I'm just confused. My mind just can't comprehend all this stuff that's going on. Now we're running for our lives. Who are you anyway? Because it's scattered. And so he's trying to pull them all back together because they were running out of patience. I'm telling you, when you run out of patience, you go to pieces. Anybody that runs out of patience goes to pieces. And as we say, the basket case. You show me somebody that's a patient person, and I'll show you somebody that's got it together. He's got it together. So he said, let patience have her perfect work, amen, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, that you may be whole or complete. Hallelujah. Most people go to pieces when they feel like they're running out of something. Right? Especially time. I know I've taken a lot of tests in my life, and you have too, and it's like, oh God, I only got 5 minutes left. And I can't think of worth a hoot when I know I'm running out of time. And so it is. People, when you start running out of things, you start trying hastily to fix things because you know you're running out of something. And I'm afraid too many times we spend too much time trying to control our image when what's happening, we're running out of color and we're running out of elasticity and strength and beauty and we don't spend enough time controlling our destiny and our eternity and things that will not run out of time. And God really doesn't care if you have rosy cheeks or not. He doesn't care if your hair is black or green or gray or whatever or not there. He doesn't care. But I can tell you what he does care about, your health. You'll hear me preach many times about your health. Because one writer said, I wish that your soul would prosper as your health prospers. So what he's telling us that if you see, you show me somebody that's fighting for air, they're not teaching Bible studies. They're not come here to work. They're just fighting for their lives. You show me somebody that's fighting cancer, I'll show you somebody that don't really have a lot of time to work in the kingdom of God. No fault of theirs. I'm not saying that. But I'm here to tell you that God wants you healthy because if you're healthy, you can work in the kingdom. I can do more now than I probably will be 20 years from now. Right? But if my health goes down, then my ability to work in the kingdom of God can go down too. So I can promise you that God doesn't care about these artificial, superficial things, but he does want you healthy. Amen. So if you're sick tonight, I would like for you to believe that God wants you to get better because he can use you. And I will tell you tonight, I don't know of anything in my body that's sick, but if it was and it was going to affect me greatly, I promise you, I would be bartering with God. You know what bartering is? That you see.